Is this, in your mind, the biggest crisis facing Dion Phaneuf as captain? In other words, I mean, in the past, we know that there's been dissatisfaction with him from fans, from the media. But this is the first time I think people are actually, you know, you're hearing a lot of trade rumors involving him. And people, I think, are sort of mentally, they've crossed the threshold with Dion Phaneuf. And they want him out of town. I mean, I think the Toronto Sun did a poll, and it was something like 51% of respondents were given a list of players to move out of town. Dion was the guy they wanted to move out of town. Is this the biggest crisis for Dion Phaneuf since he's been captain here?
Well, I don't think the management group's going to look at polls.
No.
And I did find it kind of confusing when they fired a coach and said that the team wasn't trending the right way. Like, what are we, a stock?
Well, there are people who would say that they are.
Are we on Twitter? It's really trending on Twitter. You know, you're looking at this group in the next little bit, and they are going to decide whether they stay or they go. Not Brendan Shanahan, not the coaching staff. They will decide by their play whether they get a chance to play with a Maple Leaf sweater next year or not. Whether they get a chance to play with this sweater this year or not. Because clearly the fan base and some of your listeners, which maybe all of them, have had enough. Have had enough of one playoff round in 9 years and have had enough of the lack of success and want changes. And if this core cannot deliver, then there will be a different core that maybe can't deliver either. And that's okay, because this core hasn't delivered. So I think the next couple weeks will dictate whether this group stays and has the chance to wear that sweater. You know, because there's a real honor to wear that sweater. You put that thing on for the first time, there's something special, Jeff.
Do you think these guys feel that? I don't doubt that, Glenn. You've done that.
On my team. Get rid of them. So, you know what? I'll pay for their taxi chip myself. Get them to the airport right now. I know when I put that on for the very first time, and I remember specifically putting it on for the first time, it was an honor. It was though, you know, you were wearing a sweater Dave Keon wore. You're wearing a sweater that Johnny Bauer wore, or Mike Pommatier, or Daryl Sittler, or whoever else wore that sweater before you. There was an honor to wear it. And if they don't want to wear it, then someone else is going to put it on and carry the flag. But this next couple weeks is going to dictate whether this group stays together. And my guess is this group doesn't stay together.
What do you think the market would be for Dion, even with that big contract? I know Nick Kiprios talked about, you know, the Avalanche have been interested.
You trade him even up for Ryan O'Reilly, really?
I was thinking more. To me, you're going to have to take on, if you're going to deal Dion Phaneuf, you're basically going to have to take on somebody else's bad contract. I mean, that, in a salary cap league, that's the way it works. So maybe you end up with a Mike Richards, and I don't know, you've already got David Clarkson. I don't know if you necessarily want another guy in a long-term contract.
I just don't see the sense in all of that.
Okay.
Like, Mike Richards, to me, is a wonderful player. He's had a great career. Can't skate anymore. He was great in the finals last year when it was like one and done and you had to win. That's the guy you want? That solves all our woes? I just don't see how that's an answer to... You're sticking a finger in a dike that just is leaking everywhere. You know, it doesn't make sense. And I get that we are driven by rumor, speculation, and, you know, this team's going to make a trade and that team's going to make a trade. And I mean, you guys on the airwaves, you get driven by trade speculation. But most of it is absolute nonsense. And that's what I've heard over the past number of days. It's nonsense. That's not happening. Now, if you don't like the way Dion Phaneuf plays and you want to make a trade, then you better have an answer for the minutes that he plays, the time he's on the ice, the position that he plays in all different areas, whether it's PK, penalty killing, five-on-five play. You just don't make a trade to make a trade to satisfy the savages, so to speak. And Mike Richards isn't the answer because... you know, the next question is, okay, who plays the minutes that Dion plays? Do I think Dion will finish his career in Toronto? Absolutely not. Do I think Phil Kessel will? Absolutely not. But you got to make a trade which is right for the organization. And all of the kind of rumors that I've heard aren't right for this organization.
So if we operate under that assumption, then I'm not disagreeing with you. Obviously, that's a lot of minutes that Dion plays. Somebody's got to pick up those minutes. Cody Franson, I don't know. And even if he does pick up more minutes, you're still asking somebody. You can't ask a guy who's already there to pick up the minutes. You got to bring somebody else in. So I get that. But is there anybody you look at of this core group that you think would have a certain value on the market right now?
Well, Phil Kessel would certainly have a value. As much as we like to malign him, since he's come into the league, it's only been Stamkos, Ovechkin, and Perry that have outscored him. So goals are valuable in this game. And, you know, you pay a player $4 million because he can play a certain way, and then you pay him $8 million because he can do something no one else can do, which is there's only three others that have done it better than he's done it. So there's a value there for sure. And I guess it's, you know, what you get back, whether you perceive that's the right value. And, you know, the side that a lot of people like to take with Phil is that maybe he's not the first building block of a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with that. You know, Patrick Kane isn't exactly the most honorable citizen on the Chicago Blackhawks. He didn't tip a cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you put him with Hossa, and you put him with Sharp, and you put him with Seabrook, and you put him with Keith, and you put him with Taves. All of a sudden, you got yourself the guy who can break a game open. You know, with one particular play, and won a Stanley Cup against Philadelphia. You know, with one goal, that's the game breaker. That's what we pay this guy for. Because I can't do it, you can't do it, Jeff, and certainly Santarelli's not going to do it with the Toronto Maple Leafs. So you can name all of them that can't do it. So there's value for all of the players. It's just a matter of, you know, finding your right dance partner. And it's really hard to make a trade in the NHL. Most teams are up against the cap. You know, you can't hide salary in the minors anymore. Like, take on a bad contract, you can't put that player in the minors.
Right.
You can hide $925,000. That's it. The rest goes on your books. That's what you want to do. You want to take a bad deal and take a player for 5 years. It's going to handicap you again for five more years. No, it's really difficult to do it the way the economics are today with the CBA. And people don't want to hear the CBA, but that's the reality of making a trade.
Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada joining us on the Jeff Blair Show. Don Cherry on Saturday night suggested that Phil Kessel simply forget about all the back-checking nonsense, and you know, essentially it was let Phil be Phil. And we've talked about this an awful lot. I think with Phil, if you're a coach, you're sort of hoping you get half of what you ask for him defensively, and if you get that, you're probably satisfied with it. But is there an element of truth to what Don said, Glenn?
Totally. I mean, we've gone from asking whether he's uncoachable. I'm asking he's unwatchable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I played with Wayne Gretzky, there was a whole different set of rules for him than anybody else. And you want his rules? Go get me 4,000 points. Then you can have his rules.
Right.
You can play the way he plays. And not like he didn't play the right way, but, you know, he was a guy who was always on, you know, the leading side of taking aggressive chances. And why wouldn't he? It's 4,000 points and mounting. And so
he also had the supporting cast, though, too, right?
Yeah, he did. That's what we just talked about,
right,
with the Chicago Blackhawks and Patrick Kane, for sure. But you're not going to win games unless you can score some goals.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get a set of rules that works for Richard Panik, but it has to be the same set of rules for Phil Kessel.
So when we talk about this, when we talk about giving Phil a little more freedom, you know, it seems to me that when I watch Phil, what I see an awful lot is a guy who cheats, who tries to get out of his own end a little too quickly, I'm going to say. I mean, we saw that in that, I thought that was the biggest problem with him on the West Coast trip. It wasn't just necessarily that his man was getting away from him. It was the fact that he was out of the zone all the time, and he seemed to be cheating out of there. Is that how do you find a balance with Phil Kessel, Glenn? Like, what would you ask him to do?
Well, I think the balance would be, if you're to look at the two different scales, Alexander Ovechkin last year at minus 35, 846th out of 800 and whatever number of players it was there were in the league, that's a bad balance. You know, you got to go and Trotz has said it, you got to score me 90 goals just to even equate that kind of, I don't care about my team, I'm just going to play this way. I don't think I've seen that from Phil. I don't think I've seen this just blatant, I don't care, I'm not back-checking anymore, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm forget what the team you know wants me to do, I'm just going to do my own thing. You have to let guys that are offensive, like Phil, be really creative. You know, and it is so ironic. It was just like a week and a half ago, you know, I sat at the Air Canada Center, talked to a coach, and he said to me, you know, really go watch the Leafs. They're such an offensive team. I mean, no one scores more than them in the game. And a week and a half later, like, they can't score a goal. So that's the balance the team has to find. But certainly it starts with Phil in his ability to be creative, to create and paint the canvas the way he wants to paint it. And, you know, there are going to be, you know, stuff in his game that you don't like. That's why Boston got rid of him. They didn't think he was a three-zone player. But he certainly is a player who can, with, you know, one shift up the ice, break a game open.
Glenn, as always, it was great to talk to you.
All right, Jeff, good stuff. We'll see what this group looks like in a week from now.
This is an easy part. Well, I don't know if there's an easy part of the schedule for this group, but there's some opportunity here, and you're right.
The teams they're playing are all non-playoff teams. They're all teams that are worse than them. And if they can make hay now, then they've answered every question Brendan Shanahan has about this group, and Brendan will make the right moves.
Absolutely.
Moves for our fan base.